Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. And this is episode number 364. And your host, as always, well, it's me, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yeah, 364 episodes. It's been a while here that we've been doing this show. And I'll tell you what, the news is no less wacky and crazy than it was back in 2008. 10 years ago. We're still talking about some of the same stuff. Like tonight, Bigfoot discovery. That's what launched this show back in 2008. And yes, it's over. That's what they say. Bigfoot has been discovered and the finding has been aired on YouTube. So, well, I don't know. Take that with a big grain of salt. Well, maybe a salt block. And we'll cover that in a second. But what about the Megalodon? That big shark, he's got his own movie out. What's going on with him? And a couple other stories in with Bigfoot. Well, I guess one other story. He's back in New York. Not New York City. He's not shopping at Soho. But he's back in Whitehall, New York. And, of course, the story that just won't quit. It's back once again this week. More women are coming forward about sex with ghosts. I can't really seem to get away from this one. I don't know. And we're going to talk about some interesting political developments. Not that kind of political development, but a Colorado company is going after another Colorado company over UFO videos. And unfortunately, that's some dirt that we're going to have to shovel tonight, I guess. That's the only way I can put it. And yeah, it's... fun weekend for me. I was out of town visiting some family down in Columbus, Ohio. As you know, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't know. I'm from the Northeast Ohio area up here, pretty close to the rock and roll capital, well, I guess, of the United States. I don't know of the world. I don't know if we can claim that, but home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame near Cleveland, about 30 miles away from there. Also, pretty close to the Akron, Ohio area, home to, I don't know, some tires, Firestone, good years down there with the blimp. And, well, I guess LeBron James is based out of there. Now he's out in L.A. Well, we'll leave that where it is. But I had a good time out there in Columbus, just kind of hanging out and just getting away from the regular grind. And, yeah, it was a pretty nice getaway, but, you know, hopefully some of you guys, hopefully maybe out there, found a nice paranormal convention to go hang out at. And I got back Sunday, and I had a lot of emails to catch up on. And I got a few events that I'll be talking about here in a second. But paranormal conventions and conferences, I talk about this every week. And I don't know, maybe you're rolling your eyes. You get tired of me talking about it. But I think it's very, very important that you guys get out there. If you're into ghosts, you're into cryptozoology, you're into UFOs, and you want to learn more about this subject, these are the best places to go. Get out there. Go listen to somebody speak at a library. Go to one of these conferences, conventions. And if you're interested in that, you can go to my website at paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top, and it'll take you to a pretty darn good list of events, conferences, and conventions. It's duplicated all the time. I laugh when I see this pop up, even though I tell people, don't do it. Don't do it, because it took me a long time. At least if you're going to do it, at least acknowledge the fact of where you stole it from, and just don't steal it and put it on your website. And lots of places take it. It's funny to me, because it means I'm doing something right, that if people are copying my work and putting it on their websites as their own work, that's fantastic. Imitation is the, I guess, what does that say? The best form of flattery. I don't know. It's kind of annoying because you're stealing my work, but that's okay. It's not like it's copyrighted material, but nonetheless, I share this information freely anyway. The 8th annual Michigan Paracon, August 23rd to the 25th. That's coming up fast. That's going to take place in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. The IONS 2018 conference, August 30th through September 2nd, takes place in Bellevue, Washington. A whole list of other stuff through September, October. That's the heaviest time of the year, it seems like, for these conferences, conventions, next to pretty much March and April is the other heavier time of the year for ghost conferences, conventions. We have the Exeter UFO Festival taking place September 1st and 2nd in Exeter, New Hampshire, in the UFO area. And the, let's see, the, I think I'm missing one here. Oh, no, there it is. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival 2007 or 2018. I still haven't fixed that yet. It still says 17. August 18th in Troutdale, Oregon. The International Bigfoot Conference and Film Festival, August 31st through September 2nd in Kennewick, Washington. And the third annual International Cryptozoology Conference takes place September 1st and the 2nd in Portland, Maine. And that's headed by Lauren Coleman and the International Cryptozoology Museum, where one of my books is for sale there. So if you go there, take a picture of my book, visit my book, and say hi. And, well, I don't know, maybe buy it if you don't have it. Well, if you have it, even buy it. That's great. So, yeah, this event listing, paranewsinsider.com, and click on the events tab at the top. And it's not a complete list. I do my best to fill this thing out as much as possible, but I need your help. If you're a listener out there, and you take a look at this list and you see some events that you know of, maybe you're putting them on, maybe you're going to one, maybe you saw it on Facebook, let me know. And I'll gladly put it on here and I'll mention it as we get closer to it. And if you're really nice and you ask me to, I will talk about it at any point in time, which I try to do when people give me event listings and event names for this stuff coming up. I love talking about this stuff. It's you know, a lot of people don't like these things, but I'll tell you what, you're going to learn a lot. Yeah, you're going to meet some people that are kind of annoying or maybe a little bit full of themselves. Some of those people are. But you're going to also find a lot of great people that are wanting to share their knowledge and information and their, you know, let alone their books and things like that. But it's great to network with people at these events. And I just added one this weekend, actually. Yesterday finalized an event that I'll be actually today, now that I'm thinking about it. September 30th, I will be at the Asheville, Ohio branch of the Pickaway County Library System in Asheville, Ohio, talking about cryptids in Ohio and elsewhere. It's going to be a lot of fun. I was at a neighboring branch of the main branch of the Pickaway County Library earlier this year, and I'm going to be back there next year doing another cryptid program. But don't worry, it's going to be different. Every time I go to a library, I try to make sure it's very unique for that particular library. And that's going to be June 24th of next year. That's down in Circleville, Ohio, home of the pumpkin. Yes, giant pumpkin. The water tower is painted like a pumpkin. It's pretty cool. Beyond that, I got a few events in October, which I'm not going to bother with you this week about it, but you can check out my website at briandparsons.com, and you can find out where I'm going to be at, where I'm going to be speaking or hanging out in the world of the paranormal. But one big announcement I got to make, I'm going to make it the next 2 weeks. The PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure is going to be taking place May 31st through June 2nd of 2019, and you may wonder, well, why you mentioned it now? Well, in just over 2 weeks, September 1st, tickets will go on sale. Now, I've not seen any of the major announcements that are going to be made, but you're going to be really excited about this. We had the gang from the Mountain Monsters down the last couple of years, and they're going to be back next year, and there's going to be some big names that are going to be there. I can't talk about it yet, but I'm really excited about it. And you're going to want to get your tickets. This is a very unique event because it's not just a bunch of guys talking about Bigfoot and what their sightings were, their personal theories as to what this creature could be. But it's a lot of different speakers talking about a variety of cryptid subjects, not just Bigfoot. And there's also going to be people providing some hands-on information, doing some different things Other than just lecturing, they're also going to be we're also going to be leading you through the woods. I know that sounds scary, but trust me, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people really have enjoyed it the last couple of years that we've done this, and the kids love it, especially when we usually do that towards the campground. But Steve Coles and Eric Altman will probably be taking groups of people out for some really interesting walks into some, I'll tell you what, some of the most interesting places that I've seen on the East Coast, and not just for Bigfoot. There's also a lot of strange anomalous things that happen out there. A lot of UFO sightings and things like that. So always fun to visit that part of Pennsylvania. So again, guest speakers, some special guests in the works that will be announced before the September 1st tickets when they go on sale. And again, also workshop presenters. They're going to be talking about how to make prints, how to search for these animals, and some of the intricate things that you're going to need to know if you're going to want to get out there in the woods. I'm excited about it. It's almost a year away, but really pumped up about this event. And I talked about it like every week the last time it came out. But you're going to want to check this out. PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. Yeah, it's going to be intense. Okay, the room is silent. But yeah, it's going to be intense because we're going to be camping. Intense. Well, I might not be in a tent next year, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, you didn't come here for that. You came here for the paranormal news. And the paranormal news, I got you. Got you this week. And we're going to start it out as we always do, encrypted news. And this is a story I've not covered. Even though we had Shark Week a couple of weeks ago, I don't know. It's Shark Week it's just so old. I like sharks. Don't get me wrong. They're cool. They're mean. They're aggressive. They're not as dangerous as what people make them out to be, but they get their own week on TV. But a lot of other animals, they don't get their own weeks. I don't know why. I don't know why, but they do. So sharks. But the poor great white shark, you know, remember that one? Jaws, pretty famous movie. I think there was what? Two more movies. There was Jaws 3 in 3D when he blew up. Well, I hope I didn't ruin that for anybody. But move over, great white shark. You're gone. Nobody cares about that little shark anymore. It's over. The new shark on the block. Well, it's got his own movie out. And it's a megalodon, which apparently nobody can pronounce. It's not that hard. Megalodon. But they had to make the movie called The Meg. I don't know if it's just because it's trying to make it cool and trendy, like something, you know, maybe it looks good with a hashtag in front of it. I don't know. Now, of the 80-plus movies about sharks, there's already a handful of them out there that include this prehistoric shark. The movie aptly titled Megalodon, maybe that's why they didn't call it Megalodon, was released back in 2004. And I have to say, one of the worst movies about sharks ever created uses a very similar plot. Not Megalodon. It's not the worst movie out there on sharks, but oh my gosh, this movie is just horrendous. You can check it out on YouTube, or parts of it on YouTube. There's only a few parts that you really need to watch about this. 2012, there was a movie called Attack of the Jurassic Shark. It's the worst shark movie ever made in cinematic history. The CGI is not even CGI. It's just, I don't even know what they did. It's just horrendous. It's worth watching parts of it. Not all of it, just parts of it. It's so horrible. Attack of the Jurassic Shark, 2012 movie. And who can forget the Discovery Channel's Megalodon? I did talk about this when it came out back in 2014. The Monster Shark Lives is what it was called. Megalodon, the Monster Shark Lives. Now, if you remember, they also did a 2012 version of Mermaids, The Body Found, that caused a lot of problems with a lot of people, because a lot of people thought that was real. And there was actually news stories about this, that mermaids might have been found. It might be a real thing. But no, it was just a fake documentary. And if you had to watch really quickly, because there was a very short disclaimer at the beginning and at the end but you had to really pay attention. You had to be looking for it. And they kind of cleverly disguised it. Well, the Monster Shark Lives show in 2014, they tried to do the same thing. They tried to fool the viewing audience into thinking that a megalodon had been discovered. It wasn't as crazy and scary as the mermaid one was. You know, remember the mermaid like jumping up at the camera and the kids running away? That was pretty cool. But the megalodon, it was kind of boring, as I think a lot of their specials are. They try to hype them up. But, you know, sharks, after a while, they're actually kind of boring. They just kind of swim around with the cold blank stare on their face pretty much 23 hours out of the day. And then that 1 hour, they're kind of getting hyped up. And for that 2 minutes, they eat something. So it's not really, they're not really that exciting. They look cool on TV, I guess. And they're scary. And they do bite people, tear people's arms off. But what about the megalodon? Could one of these still be lurking in the depths somewhere, just waiting for an oil rig or something else to set it off on a killing spree? Well, the oil rig thing, it seems to be one of the major premises of the movies. I'm not going to give away the Meg and how that happened, but it always seems like they're hiding in the depths somewhere, waiting to be jarred loose and come out and attack people, you know, falling in love with a family or a certain group of people, just like Jaws. You know, Jaws only targeted certain people, which I don't know how that's possible. But anyway, have we already found proof of the existence of Megalodon in photographs and videos? There's plenty of them out there. All you got to do is search on YouTube. They're there. But Megalodon are thought to have disappeared from Earth around 2.6 million years ago. But reports still continue. Videos still continue to surface, claiming to be the gigantic megalodon, but hard evidence eludes us. Scientists state that one important observation is the fact that the shark's teeth would have been found since 2.6 million years ago. The teeth are the most often found pieces of these ancient fish, these megalodon. Not much else is really ever discovered. So a lot of what we think they look like, or think we think they acted like, or whatever they did, is just really based on the collection of their teeth and comparing those teeth to modern day sharks. So we don't know, really know a whole lot about them, but we can assume that they would look fairly similar to a great white shark. A megalodon might shed up to 20,000 teeth in a lifetime. Now, certainly some of those would have been discovered outside of this 2.6 million year time frame, but they haven't. So that's where scientists are with that. Even if they were looking deep down in the deep depths of the ocean, one would think that somehow, some way, one of these teeth would eventually wash up on a shore over 2.6 million years. That's a long time. But you know, people will talk about other things that have eluded us, especially in the depths. Now, the leading thought by movie makers, again, is that Megalodon is that somehow survived the depths unseen by humans until something we do sets them loose. And it's a lot of times it's a, kind of like an ecological kind of disaster type thing where shame on us for doing anything in the oceans. And when we do that, nature bites us back. It's kind of a metaphor, I guess. This would more than likely be difficult for a creature of that size to survive at those depths, as well as the temperature of that water. And it would more than likely evolve. I mean, it's obviously going to evolve. Over 2.6 million years, the megalodon isn't going to be that big anymore. It would shrink, especially if it's only in certain areas of the ocean. This is what scientists are talking about with this new movie out. And people, you know, again, thinking that maybe, just maybe, there's something down there. We don't know everything that lives in the oceans. And we don't, that's true. But we can make that assumption fairly confidently that the megalodon, if they did survive, have evolved into something a little less menacing and probably a lot smaller. And they would be a lot slower, especially if they were down there in the depths. They would probably not have eyes for seeing anymore, because it would be super, super dark down there if they were living in the depths. They would have evolved. That's what animals do. They evolved to survive. And they'd be definitely more docile if they were down in the cold depths of the ocean. So despite us not seeing everything in the oceans and not knowing everything that's down there, you know, and again, you can think about discovering creatures that were thought to be extinct, like the 65-million-year-old coelacanth. They thought it was didn't exist, only knew about these from fossil records. But alas, there they were in 1938. And then you can also talk about the megamouth shark, not really a menacing shark, just kind of a big mouth shark, but not a dangerous shark. That was in 1976. So who knows what could be down there. But the megalodon is more than likely gone. But you could still catch the larger-than-life version of this once-existing shark. Yeah, they used a little bit too large of a scale in the movie The Meg. But it's still entertaining. It's a nice popcorn-munching movie. And it just came out last Friday, August 10th. So, yeah, I mean, if you like Jason Statham, I think he's pretty cool. But I don't know. I mean, what is he going to? Is he going to punch this thing out? Is it? I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the type in there. I mean, is he going to drive a car around? Is he going to throw it in a trunk of a car? I'm just trying to remember all of his movies here, but I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, who knows what's down there in the ocean depths? But either way, it's an entertaining movie, and you need to check it out. But the big news this week: Bigfoot. Well, it's been discovered. I know I'm not jumping up and down about it because it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing here. It's not really been discovered. That's what somebody else said. And I'll put that link in the chat room in there for you guys for the previous story. But yeah, somebody claims that the Bigfoot has been discovered. The Daily Star from the United Kingdom. It's a, how can I put this nicely? Not a not so trustworthy news source. I guess that's putting it nicely. Based in the United Kingdom. Well, yeah, apparently the search is over. The proof that we all need to verify the existence of the large hairy creature has been supposedly found in a so far unnamed forest that the news has only been broadcast via a YouTube account. Well, and the Daily Star website, obviously, out of the United Kingdom. Now, the YouTube account in question is NVTV, which is full of questionable Bigfoot videos, which most of which are obvious hoaxes. I mean, it doesn't take a forensic video scientist to unravel that. And the rest of the videos there are more than likely hoaxes. If I were to waste a little bit more time to watch the rest of them, they're not very good. Most of the stuff that's on that channel is just really and truly, it's just all for click-throughs. It's all for getting people to watch them, and so they get paid for it. Unfortunately, that's what we've come to. People hone in on a certain genre of videos, so people will tune into them and watch every new release, and they'll get paid just sitting there. It's sad, but that's what we've come to. And the video in question is titled Cries of an Angry Bigfoot Captured in American Forest, which doesn't sound to me like a scientific discovery of a Bigfoot. It just sounds like, again, somebody trying to make a few dollars off of click-throughs here. The video is nothing more than a random patch of woods. So the video, you're watching it, it's just a bunch of woods. We never see anything other than pretty much what I see as a young growth area of woods. Not really mature trees at all, not a mature forest. Pretty thick with woods, though, but it's a pretty young area of woods. I mean, it could be anything from a large forest all the way down to a wooded lot. I have no idea how big this area really is. And when you hear the audio, it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't look like it would match that. I know that sounds weird to say, but when you hear the audio, it just doesn't seem to fit that landscape. And you don't watch the video and you kind of just close your eyes and listen to the audio, it still doesn't sound right. And the background has a lot of hiss to it. but the barking and the other animal noises that you hear in it are pretty clear. So things aren't really matching up very well. And then the biggest thing to me, which I rolled my eyes as I listened to this on full volume, the sounds change volume, but not due to distance. So it just, something doesn't sound right. It's whoever did this put together, try to kind of pull the wool over our eyes. It just doesn't sound right. And another telltale sign is, if you listen about 1 minute and 14 seconds in, there's a noticeable audio dip, just as a scream is about to be introduced, which tells me it was layered on top of the other sounds. But you can kind of hear other telltale signs of that if you listen really, really closely. But that's pretty much the easiest one to discern. It jumps out at you right away, and you can tell without a doubt that this is just layered audio. It's just a bunch of different sounds patched together to sound like this, whatever this is. I don't know where the source is of this creature sound, but I wasn't able to find it. But there's plenty of them that sound very similar to this on the internet, and it wouldn't be hard for somebody just to record something and create that sound themselves. I mean, even if the camera itself, it's just odd. It's just weird. Why would you set up a camera like that? I don't know. The sounds don't match the area. It's an open area, younger small trees. The sound just is too, I don't know, it's just too different. I don't know how to explain it. You don't have to search too hard to find a number of videos that are actually very similar to this one. There's a lot of Bigfoot researchers that claim to have the same kind of thing where they record this. This is kind of like the new kind of, I don't want to call them hoax videos, but I'm sure a lot of them are. This is the new style of recording where you're just looking at what would be called a game camera, and that picks up audio, and they're hearing these screams of Bigfoot. But I don't think that's what this is. Some of them I've heard are probably fox or other animals, but this one, I think this is a deliberate attempt to create a hoax. I mean, essentially, these videos, they usually state that the person just so happened to randomly stick a camera out in the woods for some odd reason, whether it's tracking deer or they've heard these noises, so they put these cameras out, and they just so happen to actually get the audio. Wow, how convenient. But if this one was looking for deer, this camera placement is pretty bad. Because if you look, there's really no recognizable game trail. It just doesn't make sense for that. It just doesn't seem like the kind of place where you'd stick a camera looking for something specific. You know, and they just so happen to pick up Bigfoot noises very close by. But on top of all that, there's no other evidence. If it was that close to the camera, you would have thought that they would have found something. Tracks. Scat. Hair. Maybe other DNA evidence. Something should have popped up in that area, I would have thought. And again, it's unnamed forest. Nobody knows who did this video or what it's about. So it's really, really, really shaky. In my opinion. And I don't think it's evidence of anything. It's just evidence of somebody trying to scam you, try to make money. So I'll throw that video, well, actually the story link in the news, for the news and the chat room there for you guys that are tuning in live. And don't worry, if you're not live in the chat room, you don't have to be there to get these links. I would appreciate it if you were live, because then you could ask questions and follow along with the group that's in there. And be there live. But don't worry if you're not getting these links. I'll be putting them through the Facebook site of the Paranormal News Insider, which is Paranews Insider. And the Facebook page is also tied to the Twitter page of the Paranormal News Insider, which is at Paranews Insider. And they're tied together. So when I put one on one, it goes to the other without a problem. One last, well, it's a Bigfoot story. So one last cryptid story here, which is a pretty interesting one, if I do say so myself. It's kind of a story within a story, within a story. So if you can follow along with that, Well, if that last story that we talked about wasn't proof enough for you, well, you might want to take a trip to New York. Back in August of 1976, three teens saw a large hairy creature that sparked concern among the residents of the village of Whitehall. And the Beast of Whitehall, which it's now known as, has been one of the many stories to come out of the 1970s about a Bigfoot-like creature stalking a small town. There's lots of them, from the Fowlk Monster to places in Missouri and in Florida, all over the place. But could this one have been real? And is it still going on? Now, in celebration of this, the village of Whitehall made Bigfoot the official animal of Whitehall. This was an official ceremony that happened back in July, and it was a story that I decided not to really talk about. I didn't think it was a big deal, but had I known that the sightings were going to continue, I definitely would have talked about this. But the last Saturday of September, well, it's going to be a sad day. A sad day, as it is a sad day every year from henceforth, as SAD means Sasquatch Appreciation Day. So the last Saturday of September in Whitehall has now been officially named Sasquatch Appreciation Day, which is weird because I've heard of this before, and I thought, well, wait a second. I know somebody else does this. So I did a quick Google search, and sure enough, there's a lot of states that actually have a Sasquatch Appreciation Day, which is kind of cool. But I really think we'd need to get them all together and have it on one day. That would be great. And then we can make greeting cards and make some money. Yeah. But don't fret. There's going to be some festivities. There's going to be a Sasquatch calling festival. And we could have a whole festival around calling a Sasquatch. That's going to take place the same day in Whitehall on September 29th. It's going to be kind of a drive for me, and I do have that event on Sunday, September 30th. Or otherwise, I'd test my chops out there. I do some pretty good hoots and hollers and Bigfoot calls myself, but I'm going to have to pass on that one. Can't risk losing my voice a day before doing a library presentation, but that would be fun. Now, all that being said, it's not all about historical sightings in the Whitehall area. As I mentioned, there are recent sightings of a Bigfoot-like creature. Now, last Tuesday night around 10:10 p.m. local time on Route 4 in that area, the as-of-yet unidentified witness stated that he saw a 6 to 6.5-foot-tall creature with a black outline, walking on two legs with wide shoulders and little to no neck. Well, he saw it walk over a guardrail as he was driving past the area. He contacted local Bigfoot investigator Paul Bartholomew, and within 18 hours of the sighting, the two had returned to the scene, and Paul was actually able to cast some of the tracks. And the cast has a print that measured 10 to 12 inches long and possibly around 5 inches across. Yeah, that doesn't sound that big of a Bigfoot to me. And, you know, I know people with bigger feet than that. Regular people, real people, not Bigfoot people. But not sure. We'll have to kind of stay tuned to this one, but I think that might have been a mistaken identity or even a hoax. But it's still an interesting development, an interesting story nonetheless. And copy that one. I'll throw it in the chat room and make sure I take the beginning and end off of that because I always mess that up. So again, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on these links as I get these stories and put them out there for you. But you're still going to get them as the week progresses. And I messed that one up. But don't fret. You'll still get these out during the week. I post maybe one a day. Well, sometimes maybe two a day, but I try not to get too carried away with it. I don't want to inundate you with too many posts because I know sometimes that can be a little much. So I try to keep it very, very simple for you and only post about one or two a day. Depends on how many stories I get. Anyway, you'll enjoy them anyway. I know you will. And a lot of times these stories are breaking here on this show before they're actually breaking in the regular news. So I do my best to get some of these out there as quickly as possible while still getting some of the good information or up-to-date information for you guys. I don't like reporting a story that ends up, you know, talking about it like it's going to be the big thing and then it's a hoax. I don't like being in that position. And no real reason to talk about a story that's been out for 2 or 3 weeks that you probably have heard about. And, you know, talking about it here, it's just silly to me to rehash a story that's probably already been talked about everywhere else. You've probably seen it everywhere else already. And with that, we're going to jump to ghost news. And ghost news, yes, it's officially a trend. This has been kind of bubbling up for quite a while. And we've covered some stories about this in the past over the years here on the Paranormal News Insider. But it looks like right now, this is trending. Now, last week I talked about Amethyst Realm, the woman who not only claims to have had sex with about 20 ghosts. I don't know if she's keeping a tally. I mean, how do you do that? Notches on the bedpost. I don't know how that works. But now she's decided to settle down with one particular ghost in mind and is also having a discussion with said settled down ghost and trying to determine how to have a ghost baby. That's pretty original there. This week, another woman has stepped forward to claim she's doing the deed between the sheets. I guess with the sheet. I don't know how that works. You know, ghosts always appear as sheets. Anyway, that was a bad joke. A radio station called The Edge. How original. Based in New Zealand with hosts Jono, Ben, and Sharon. We're talking about this particular story that I mentioned. When they decided to ask their own listeners if any of them had had this particular kind of fun with a ghost. And apparently it didn't take them long to get a caller that professed that she was visited by her deceased boyfriend. She only claimed to have sensations and the feeling that he was present, but didn't actually see him physically or otherwise get any other notification that it was him. Paul Seaburn of Mysterious Universe talks about some of the other stars that have claimed to have sexual encounters with ghosts, including the late Anna Nicole Smith and the singer Keisha. You know, the one with the dollar sign in the middle of her name, because that's really cool, I guess. But there are even more women out there supporting this claim. I mean, my question is, where are the men at? You know, are guys having this happen? Or Seaburn also asked this particular question and wonders, maybe the female ghosts are finding other ways to, satisfy their otherworldly needs, I suppose. But it's a weird thing, this whole, I don't know, is this going to continue? The spectrophilia story could go on to be one of the biggest stories of the year. I don't know. And in case you're a new listener, you're listening to the Paranormal King Radio Network, a version of this show, which is pretty much the same version I've been doing for going on 10 years. It'll be 10 years in less than a month. That's scary. 10 years of the same radio show. But it's been pretty successful. A lot of people have been listening for quite a while and get a lot of positive vibes. And the cool thing is a lot of people are finally starting to copy what I do and the way I do it, which is awesome. You know, if people are copying what you're doing, you got to be doing something right. So that's awesome. But every year, at the end of the year, I kind of wrap up the stories, but I do them in a unique way. And I do what I call the top 10 paranormal news stories of whatever year it happens to be. So obviously this year it'll be the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018. And I'm telling you, this spectrophilia thing, it's going to make its way. It might make its way into the top 10. We'll see. Certainly entertaining. And it's certainly off the wall. And probably some other things I could say that would probably get me kicked off the network. But we'll keep it clean. We got to keep it clean. But just an odd story. Strange. Strange, strange. But in other news, speaking of strange, before I get carried away, I'll throw that link in the chat room. But some kind of bad news this week. It's kind of disturbing. I don't know how else to say it, but maybe annoying, I guess, is that there's some, I don't know, ruffled feathers, not so good vibes. I don't know how you'd say it, but the world of paranormal movies and videos, it's been growing over the years. I think a lot more people have gotten into this genre of filmmaking, independent films, and whether they're fiction or nonfiction or based on real events kind of movies and videos. I think we've moved on from our video casing our own personal paranormal adventures and trying to be like ghost adventures and ghost hunters. And now it's going back to almost kind of where it began. Because before all that rage in the mid-2000s, a lot of people were emulating what they saw on TV with MTV Spear and a lot of these other scary shows. But now they're kind of integrating some of this, some of these stories and some of these topics. And they're getting some attention from some of these larger services. They're a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy these. They're very entertaining, especially when they're trying to reenact or trying to get to the people that maybe have had particular sightings of a UFO or a other paranormal event. But sometimes it takes a bad turn. And the fun has hit kind of a brick wall with a UFO and crop circle filmmaker, Patty Greer, and the entertainment and video streaming company, Gaia. And it all started when Greer agreed to sell Gaia the rights for them to show some of her videos, and she received a $10,000 advance for that right. But then Gaia stated that the videos were not generating interest and desire to negotiate a return of part of the advance and part ways with Greer. Well, Greer disagreed and said that Gaia intentionally buried her work so that no one could find them. That's kind of an odd statement from a company that just spent $10,000 to sabotage themselves. It doesn't make sense to me. Then, unfortunately, Greer went on to bash Gaia in several blog videos, which has gained some attention. This attention has made Gaia decide to file a lawsuit against Greer. And this whole thing is getting a little bit out of hand. Instead of giving some of the advance back, Greer is now facing a lawsuit that seeks damages no less than $1 million. It's a lot of money and could all have been settled for less than 10 grand. Gaia is also wants the videos taken down that Greer put up and an apology given for what court documents and statements state that Greer said Gaia executives and employees were involved with, and I quote, this is a quote, pedophilia, Satanism, Luciferianism. I don't even know if that's a word. Luciferianism? I don't know. I don't even know what that is. It's weird. Computer hacking and energy weapons, as well as business misconduct. I think you could have just, unquote. Let me unquote that first. Unquoted. I think you could have just stuck with business misconduct. I think it would have been probably the right choice of wording. I think you could have left pedophilia, Satanism, computer hacking. I don't know. I think that's, I don't know where you're getting that kind of information from. And energy weapons? I really don't know. That's just kind of way out there. I don't know where you're getting that. But and the Luciferianism? I don't even know if that's a word, but it's weird. Anyway, I mean, I get it. You're upset about the business conduct. But airing dirty laundry to the public like this is not a good business practice. I don't care who you are or what you're trying to sell. You know, they say sometimes that bad media or bad attention, there's no such thing when you're trying to sell things because people are going to be talking about it and you're going to sell stuff. But I don't think this makes you look very good. And it's not shutting yourself up to be able to sell too many things in the future for you. Now, she's trying to get social media also to empathize with her plight. But I don't think that's the right methodology of going about operating a successful business. Now, this extra attention has also caused a bit of unrest as the Colorado-based streaming service of Gaia states in documents that, quote, Gaia has also been forced to take extra security measures due to the numerous threats that Gaia has received, unquote. And that's kind of where I'm a little confused here. It's a little odd. I mean, Greer's work was not getting any attention. Nobody was buying these videos. Why is the company suddenly acting like Greer is the bully in all this stuff? I mean, if she's nobody to them, then what's the big deal? I mean, just a little bit of attention. And I got to be honest with you, and if you've listened to the show for a while, you might have heard me, I actually lashed out at Gaia in the past about their pricing structure. It was ridiculous what they were charging people just for a streaming service. And back then it was limited titles, but that was a while ago. But I checked it out. I looked at it again. And it's actually their pricing seems to fall in line pretty close with Netflix and Hulu, especially if you take out a yearly subscription. It translates into about $7.95 a month, but generally it's $9.95 a month for streaming service for Gaia. But you know what? No offense. I'm going to stick to Netflix and Hulu. I think a little bit more entertaining. I mean, with the recent proliferation of paranormal movies and documentaries being created by independent filmmakers, hopefully this is not going to put a dent in the ability for these to be shared on other types of networks. Granted, speaking of Netflix, I just suddenly remembered the train wreck. Hopefully I don't get sued for that one. The train wreck that appeared on Netflix that was created by Todd Standing not that long ago, which really and truly was more entertaining than anything. I try not to take it seriously because I don't think it was meant to be taken seriously at all. It was not very good, I don't think. But I don't think anybody really thought it was really that good at all anyway. And I really haven't heard much about him and all his lawsuits and everything else that's been going on. But we'll see. We shall see. So post that link there in the chat room for everybody to devour about Gaia suing Patty Greer. Weird stuff. And you just don't know anymore. You know, it makes it difficult to want to get into the business aspect, which it seems like a lot of paranormal researchers and investigators and groups and everybody is getting into selling something, you know, selling a video or selling books or whatever it is, gadgets, t-shirts, you name it. Everyone's trying to do something anymore. And, you know, I started writing books. I published my first book 10 years ago, and it wasn't about selling books. I mean, if you think you're going to make a lot of money writing books, you better rethink that, because you're not. Very few people get rich off of writing books. Unless you're selling them at a ridiculous cost. But for me, it was the ideas, it was the information that I was trying to get out there. And it's unfortunate that people are putting stuff out there that is just really not that entertaining. But people are eating this stuff up. So I guess as long as people have an interest in all of these documentaries, which, again, there's a lot of really good ones out there, and I have enjoyed quite a few of them. But yeah, you get into this lawsuits over stuff and petty kind of arguments and trying to bash the company that gave you money. That's not good. It's not good business practices, but we'll keep an eye out on this particular story. And gonna backtrack real quick. I didn't think I'd have time. I've been going over lately and I don't like to go too far over, but one story that's kind of breaking, kind of developing that, I was going to put it in the cryptid section, but it might confuse some people because it's not your typical run-of-the-mill cryptid story. It's about mountain lions. And I just posted this on my Ohio Cryptid website, which is Ohio Cryptid is my own personal organization. It's kind of the face of my cryptid research here in the state of Ohio. But this is a developing thing in Pennsylvania, and it's pretty far away from where I'm at, or otherwise I'd be out there right now looking for this thing. Mountain lion sightings in Pennsylvania. This is a continuing thing here. Gotten a few postings the last couple of weeks, just kind of random things. I didn't really buy into it because it didn't really seem to have that much traction. But it seems like it's getting a lot of attention. Fox43.com carried a story recently about a mountain lion sighting in Franklin Township in York County, Pennsylvania. Now, this is 300 miles north of Baltimore, Maryland. So this is pretty far east, folks. This isn't western Pennsylvania. This is eastern Pennsylvania. This is pretty close to the Atlantic Ocean here. Now, officials, of course, this is how they always kind of categorize this kind of stuff. They think it's either misidentification, an escaped exotic pet, or last but not least, the least chance is an actual real living mountain lion. And in reality, if it is a mountain lion, it's probably not an escaped exotic pet. They don't actually usually live that long in the wild on their own, or they cause enough mischief that they end up getting themselves killed. But this probably more than likely a wandering cat from the Black Hills area of South Dakota. That seems to be, seems to have been the motive lately of these escaped animals. And a recent sighting was posted just today about something that happened over the weekend. Central PA Mountain Lion Sightings Facebook page. Now, I've been kind of keeping an eye on this lately. Seen the Fox 43 story pop up on there. But now somebody just put something on there, I believe last night, that claims that a sighting has also provided some faint tracks as well as some scat with hair, which was all collected and delivered to a biologist. And no word on the validity of that story. I don't always like to talk about stuff like that because I don't know how true it is. I don't have a news source that can make that a credible claim as of yet. But you may wonder, why am I talking about this? What's the big deal about a mountain lion in Pennsylvania? Well, they're not supposed to be there. Okay, so big deal, right? Well, the mountain lion, the eastern mountain lion, was deemed extinct, well, a number of times in a number of different ways over the years. And most recently, just last year was made officially official. But 2008, a bunch of states got together and declared that this creature does not exist. 2011, they were delisted. Or suggested to be delisted, and they were just recently completely delisted. And really and truly, this is a cryptid, if this animal were to exist east of the Mississippi, because they're not supposed to be there, with the exception of the Florida Panthers of southern Florida, not the football team, but actual creatures. There are panthers or mountain lions running around. Granted, there's not too many of them left, due to encroaching homes and businesses that have really taken over that their area, their habitat, unfortunately. And it's kind of a sad story, but it's also kind of a conspiracy theory. And I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but I'll tell you what, if I believe in any conspiracy theory, it's the conspiracy against mountain lions coming back to the east. With this decision to delist them from endangered animals listings, and as well as to declare the eastern mountain lion completely extinct, that allows them to hunt and kill at will any western mountain lion that comes into the eastern states. They don't have to deliberate. They can just go out and kill it, and that's pretty much what they're doing. And it's called the three S's: shoot, shovel, and shut up. That's unfortunately what's going on in our governments. They're killing these mountain lions, also known as cougars, also known as catamount. There's dozens of names for these because they used to exist from pretty far up there in the Yukon Territory all the way over to eastern parts of Canada, all the way down to Florida, all the way to California, which they're existing now. And they also exist all the way through Central America, down through South America as well. So this was a very widespread creature, and a lot of Native American tribes had their own names for these. And when Christopher Columbus came here. He called them El Leones, or the lions. So they thought that these were just regular lions, but they don't have the little ball of hair on their tail, and the males don't have manes. And gosh, even before that, Amerigo Vespucci also described mountain lions in Central America. So they've known their existence. And of course, you know, when we came over in the 1700s, we just killed them all. We just shot and killed them all. And through the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were pretty much extirpated through all of the eastern states, and extirpated meaning locally eradicated or extinct. So Pennsylvania, I think their last one was 1918 or 1908. But then in Maine was one of the last ones. I believe that was 1938, the last known living mountain lion in the East, again, with the exception of southern Florida. But again, it's weird how they've done all this stuff to eradicate this from all the listings. So in case they do come, they're killed on site. Now, it's interesting to note as well that, you know, I mentioned 2008 when they stated that the mountain lion was officially extinct. Well, just a few months after that, and I remember this, I was really, really excited about this because back then I was even really big in mountain lions. A wandering male was struck and killed by a car an hour outside of New York City. And that was big news. That was big, big news about that. Were we wrong? And of course, just like they always do, authorities then thought it was just an escaped exotic pet. But even those on the scene felt otherwise by the way this mountain lion was made up. So again, mountain lions or cougars, they're not supposed to be here. And, you know, I mentioned the one here in Connecticut that was struck by the car just outside of New York City. There's also been one shot in the city limits of Chicago in the last 10, 12 years. There's been confirmed sightings in Missouri and a lot of other Midwestern states, but it's become few and far in between anymore. And this news out of Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, is very positive because these sightings, especially here in Ohio, we had a lot around 2006 to 2008, but then there's really been nothing since. And the reason for that, even though the Black Hills area of South Dakota, I should say, is teeming with mountain lions, teeming with cougars, and they're trying to get out of that area. But unfortunately, neighboring states don't want them either. So there's a lot of pressure on South Dakota to maintain these mountain lions, which that's just their nature to wander, look for new territory, establish a range for these males. And so they've gone on a lot of hunting sprees. They've thinned the herds of these mountain lions. It's really a really sad, sad situation, sad story. And, you know, we've gone out of our way to reestablish wolves in different states. And, but unfortunately, it's just the mountain lions is just never going to get a fair shake. And it's a sad story, but it's still developing. And hopefully it would be really, really interesting to see if this thing is out there. And unfortunately, if you pay attention to the news, mountain lions have been in a lot of negative stories lately. One recent one, mountain lion broke into somebody's home and ate their cat. And you remember I talked about the story a few weeks ago about the lady who telepathically told the mountain lion to leave her home. That was a weird story. But also earlier this year, a hiker was killed one of the first people killed by a mountain lion in a long, long time. So it's not like they're going out there looking and stalking human beings, but they are ambush predators, and they could kill a person if they really wanted to, but we're not really on the menu. But people still fear these creatures. But personally, I have a long list of reasons why we should allow them to reestablish themselves. I mean, let them do what they do. They're wild animals. And we came in here, we killed them all off. And now we're being overrun by deer. And mountain lions would help the deer population resettle itself. And I'll get off my soapbox on that. I'm very, very passionate when it comes to this mountain lion stuff. it's just, sadly, it's just something that really kind of gets swept under the rug. People don't really want to talk about it unless it's negative, when, you know, a mountain lion breaks into somebody's home or eats their pet donkey or their goats or whatever. But, you know, creatures are just doing what they've been known to do. And with that in mind, I'll let you know that you'll hear me next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.